Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Indie Review Behind the Scenes, guys. This is the weekend edition, and we're on a special day and time this week, so thank you for joining us. My name is Michelle Cornwell Jordan. I'm one of your hosts, and Jamie White, my co-host, is joining me as well. Jamie, how are you?
Hey. Somewhat awake.
I know. It was a work in progress for me as well. I'm telling you, it's been a long time since we've done done a show on Saturday at this time. But, hey, this is great. I'm excited. Everyone, we're very excited that today we're having the opportunity to chat with contemporary romance author Pat Tucker. Pat, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me, ladies. I'm gonna boost my energy and send a little over to Jamie, who seems to be
okay.
Slow for that.
Thank you.
I got you.
That's
Jamie.
Awesome.
I got you.
I know it is. Woof. It's been a
between that my energy drink. I will hopefully be okay.
Yes. Well, she has a great excuse. You know, she's in Nano, and I don't know if anyone knows about Nano, but that is. It's like combat, you know. It's a writer's boot camp. So, you know, I'm glad that you're here. All right, guys, we're going to chat right after this brief little message, okay?
Hi, this is Cecile Monique, and you're listening to Indie Review Behind the Scenes, your source for the hottest in indietainment's news and features.
So, welcome again. Why don't you introduce yourself to everybody?
I'm Pat Tucker. I am a journalist by day, author by night, and every other hour of the day. I'm very excited to talk to you guys about my new book, Free Fridays, and I have a backlist that is sure to please any and every literary taste. So I'm very excited to join you ladies today. Jamie and Michelle, thanks for having me.
Oh, we're excited to chat with you as well, so thank you for being here. So we're just going to jump right into it. One of the things that I normally like to do is just to start at the beginning. You know, how did you get on this road? I mean, you're a journalist, so I know that there was interest in writing, but that is a different, area. So how have you always wanted to write? Did you ever think you would write fiction, or was this part, a newfound passion?
Well, I've always had a passion for the written word, and so I think even as a child, my love for reading and writing basically laid the foundation for the career that I would one day have. I knew from very early in life that I wanted to be a journalist, and so to me, making that jump from dealing with the facts from 9 to 5 to dealing with my imagination after hours was just a natural transition. And so for me, I've always been a storyteller, and you know that could be good and bad. I've always had a very creative imagination, and that too can be good and bad. And so I think that I am the type of person, I'm grateful. I'm grateful to God for blessing me with the ability to share my God-given talent with others and to bring people into my world, whether that world is real or fiction. And I feel so honored and blessed to be able to touch people's lives with my 9-to-5 as a journalist and then my side hustle as a novelist. So I think I'm living the best of both worlds.
Fantastic. And I completely understand how the writer's imagination can cause a little bit of mayhem until it's channeled into stories. I've had those occasions. So, very cool.
So, do you go to any writing groups or have you gone to any conferences or things like that?
Yes, I have all of the above. When I first started out, of course, I joined a few writing groups. That was before internet became as mainstay in our lives as it is today. But I was in the Yahoo writing groups. Then I did a couple of writing groups in my community. I took a lot of creative writing courses, took some in college, and then just took some at my leisure as well. And what I like to tell people all the time, the best study of all, being an avid reader, because as an avid reader, you are able to keep your pulse on what is hot out there, the type of stories that people are flocking to, the type of stories that are not working. And so to me, being an avid reader puts a writer in a position to be an excellent student because you are able to see what others are doing, what's working, what may not be working. And while I believe that each writer should remain true to their story or what they are passionate about, you still need to be abreast of what's going on around you.
Very cool. And that would have been one of my questions regarding, how did you make that transition from the journalism into the creative writing? But, you've been studying the craft and excellent. Let's chat about Free Friday. Let's just chat about what it is about, without any spoilers, of course, and where did the idea originate, and how long was the process of writing the book?
Well, the process varies. The writing process itself varies. But I can tell you I am very excited about this story because readers are already telling me that it forces them to think about some great hot topics as it relates to marriage. And the hot topics are not always popular, but I like to write stories that really get people to, to think about, what would I do if I was in this situation, or I know, someone who is going through something similar, and, what if they took this route? Basically, Lila and Riley Franklin are nervous about the marriages that are falling apart around them, so they decide to do something that they consider proactive, and they try something new. Now, the question for readers is, would you allow your spouse to have a free Friday each month? And when I say free Fridays, oftentimes what happens is people's minds automatically jump to the sinister, but Free Friday could mean anything. You know what I'm saying? The point is that you're not bound. Yeah, you're not bound by any rules, regulations. You do whatever it is that makes you happy. And perhaps one Friday what makes you happy is to just go off someplace by yourself and be alone and get and relish in that alone time. When, on another Friday, it may be something entirely different.
Okay, well, I need a free Friday. No, I'm just joking. That's awesome.
Let me
Where can we sign up?
Too,
oh, my gosh.
Listen, let me throw this out there, too, and let me say that the grass is not greener on the other side. Oftentimes you look at your situation and then you think, oh, man, it would be so great if this, that, or whatever. And so oftentimes what people need to realize before it's too late is that the grass is rarely greener on the other side.
Okay, very cool. Very cool. Well, how long did it take for you to write the project?
Well, it varies. Writing, it varies for me. Just to give you an idea, I have a book due August 1st right now. And I've been on a 3-week vacation. I've been doing everything but writing. But I will not miss that deadline. So it varies. I tell people all the time that as a professional writer, because remember, that's what I do in my 9-to-5. I read and write stories all the time, right? So for me, it's going to be different than it is for a person who may be a nurse during the day and then writing is their outlet at night or in the evening. I've written books in as quick as 4 weeks. I've written books that have taken me a couple of years to write. So it really varies. And also, I think that oftentimes, depending on the pace with which the characters talk to me, that also makes the difference. Because sometimes as I'm writing, you know, and I'm getting to know these characters and developing their personalities and their actions, you know, they start speaking to me more often, and that means that I need to get it in gear and get to writing. I think I started this book probably in about January, but I've been just kind of, you know, just kind of doing a whole lot of other things. And I will say, though, that the book will be done and I will meet my deadline, because as a journalist, you take deadlines very, very seriously. So I'm going to meet that deadline no matter what, even if that means that, you know, I have a couple of nights, I'm pulling all-nighters or whatever. I'm very close to wrapping it up. And when I say the book is due August 1st, the book is due August 1st, but I still have to get at least a week in there to get it to the editor first so that I can make sure that I'm turning in a good quality product.
Very cool. You got this.
Yes.
You know, speaking of deadlines and stuff like that, what is something that you must have when you're on a deadline and you have a lot to do? What's an essential?
I can't think of a single thing, and here's why I say that. Oftentimes people will say, oh, well, in order for me to write, it has to be eerily quiet. I have to have a cup of coffee. You know, the light has to be dimmed at 12%. I can write anywhere, anytime. Oftentimes, you know, I jot down ideas in notepads. That's not always a good thing, though, because I have so many notepads, I kind of forget what I write and where I put them. So there is method to the madness, but not the type of method where it is confining or it prevents me from making progress. And I think oftentimes people get completely caught up in, you know, the setting has to be perfect or all of the elements have to be perfectly lined up for me to crank out a chapter. It doesn't work like that with me. I can write when I'm tipsy. I can write when I'm hungry. I can write when I'm naked. I just write, because writing is such an integral part of my life that, you know, I don't attach any specific requirements or stigmas to it that, you know, unless the moon is crest at this perfect angle, I just sit down and I write, and I'm able to do it any place and at any time.
That's awesome. That's very cool. I need a little of that mojo. That's awesome. My question to you, we were discussing your other books and your other writings. Can you tell us a little bit about those as well? And also,
yes.
Will Free Friday, will that be a series or, you know, a serial, or how would that work?
You know, Free Fridays is a standalone story, but I do have one series in the books that I've done under the Zane imprint, and that is Daddy by Default. Daddy by Default is the only book that I've written that has an actual sequel to it. And Daddy by Default has been optioned for a film. The screenplay is already done. And so that
wow.
is in progress. Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Daddy by Default is my bestseller to date. And that book, a sequel, came simply because the readers wanted a sequel. The story deals with child support dramas, and I don't have to tell you, ladies, if you've lived long enough and you've loved any at all, even if it hasn't been you personally, you probably know someone who's gone through some child support drama. And so that's a topic that still resonates with a lot of people. And I think its popularity is in the fact that, you know, this is something that if you haven't gone through it yourself, you either know someone who has, or you have a coworker, a friend, a family member, or someone, if they are not personally touched by a similar story, they too may know someone who is or has been. So the story still resonates today, and it's still a very good seller, and I still have people who come across the book and reach out to me by email to express their concern regarding the story. So Daddy by Default is the only book that has a sequel, and the sequel is Daddy's Maybe. And then there is a third book in the series that is not a sequel, but just dealing with that topic again, and it's called Somebody Has to Pay. And basically the series or the book, the topic focuses on this law that exists in many states that basically says if a man does not question paternity and he is seen as the father of this child, he does not question paternity, he is required to pay child support until that child is 18, regardless of whether DNA proves he did not father that child.
Wow, seriously, didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so that law
exists definitely
in 20-odd states. At the time that I wrote the book here in Texas, men had absolutely no recourse to, you know, go to court and to say, hey, DNA has proven that this kid isn't mine. It didn't matter. If they did not challenge paternity within a certain amount of time, they were on the hook and had to pay child support. And there have been many men here in this local community. I live in Houston, here in the greater Houston area, who have actually gone to jail for not paying child support, even though DNA proved that the kid was not theirs.
Wow, that is insane. So your books have brought to light a very, you know, I guess needed, you know, it needs to be looked at. That really does need to be looked at, that particular law, you know. So, wow, very, very cool. And so there will be a movie based on it. I think that is awesome. That will bring a little bit more attention as well to that particular, because I wasn't aware of, I mean, I'm aware of the subject, and I know people in that situation, but I did not realize about that law. So, wow, very cool.
Yes. And so, yes, and you bring up something very, a good point, is, and that is that oftentimes as a journalist, you think about it, many of the times the stories that you see on TV, whether it's your local news or whether it's a news magazine, you know, we as journalists are the vessels by which we bring stories and information to you. And the hope is always that through my writing, you find something that can either help you, help a loved one, or help someone that you know. And whether that is introducing you to a little known law, or whether that is bringing some sort of injustice to light, you know, I'm not an attorney, and so the pen is really being on a soapbox, so to speak, and shedding light on things that I find to either be, you know, ridiculous or things that I find unbelievable. And many times the stories come from, you know, a situation or something that I hear about. And the only way that I am able to, you know, to share this with people is through the power of my pen. And so I take my job as being an author and as being a journalist very seriously, because oftentimes there are these laws or these incidents that happen, and we don't know about them, we don't hear about them until it's close to home. So my hope is that someone will pick up my book and both be entertained but also be educated.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, you know, talking about journalism and everything, what do you think is one negative thing about today's journalism that maybe you would see, maybe they need to do something different? And what's one very positive thing about journalism today?
I'll start with the positive first. I think the positive is that we hold true to that oath that we are here to help. So we want to get information out to the masses. You know, when journalism, back in the heyday, the purpose of journalism was to, to provide an unbiased information to the masses, to educate people and to help them hopefully live better lives, whether that is medical information, legal information, or just information about your community, the place that you call home. A journalist is supposed to, provide information to help you live a better life. Now, one of the downsides is that in this society that we are in today with social media, any and everybody can use the term journalist in a very loose fashion. And I think that we've got these pundits, we've got political pundits, we've got entertainment people, and the lines have been blurred. And so now what you have is a lot of sensationalism that has blurred the lines, and people don't know whether, this is information that is designed to help them or just information that is designed to sensationalize and almost scare you, because oftentimes, as a journalist myself, I've been a TV reporter for 15 years and then switched over to radio. But as a journalist, there are times when I don't even want my kids to watch the evening news. And I think that is just a sad state about where we are, because the evening news starts and the A block is just filled with shootings, robbery, carjacking, car chases. And so I think that as time passes, what we are seeing is there is not necessarily a disregard for providing the information to help people live better lives, but almost the focus has gone toward ratings, because ratings is what generates money for the stations, mm-hmm. and we know that any successful business needs money to operate. So I would say that that's probably the downside of it, but I'm an optimist, and I don't like to look at things from the negative standpoint. Mm-hmm. I always think that there's a silver lining in everything. And so I tell people, don't give up on the news, because you still need to know what's going on in your community and in your neighborhood.
Very, very cool. Who are some of the authors that have influenced you and your writing, your reading preferences?
Well, I read a wide range of people. Walter Mosley, mm-hmm. my very good friends, Victoria Christopher Murray, Rashonda Tate Billingsley, Diana Poole, Alicia Yvonne. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on. Brian W. Smith. I am passionate about the written word, and so I read other people's works. I appreciate stories that other people bring, and there are times when, when I'm reading a really good book, and I'll be like, man, how come I didn't think of this? But I also read Lisa Jackson. I read one thing about Black authors, I will say. We as Black authors, we write and we read across the gamut. We read a wide range, a wide variety of stories, but oftentimes our stories are shunned by white readers because they will see a Black person on the cover and they'll think, oh, I can't relate to that story. And I tell people all the time, while I do typically write stories for Black women because that is my target audience, my stories can be enjoyed by anyone who is a human being, who has feelings, who's been through experiences, who's lived a little. And I think that as Black authors, what happens is our stories, for whatever reason, are seen as stories that the masses cannot relate to. And I think that that is one of the biggest misconceptions that's out there in the literary world. Because if you have a heart, if you have feelings, if you've lived a little, if you've experienced anything, then you can pick up books that are by any body, you know, any author, and you should be able to get something out of that story. You should be able to appreciate something that's written on the page. So for me, I pride myself on reading just about anything. I just enjoy great stories. So it doesn't matter to me whether the story is about, you know, people in a different country. The only thing I'm reluctant to read is sci-fi. And I've got a lot of people telling me, oh, you're missing the boat on that. But I just think that when I pick up a book, you know, my preference is to read about people who look like me, to see myself reflected in those pages. But there are often times when I'm just looking for a good story, so I try not to limit myself.
Very cool, very cool. And I do agree with you that there, at times it's a disparaging look, you know, or feel sometimes for, I would say, people of color, actually, you know, across the board. And I think it's just human nature, as you just stated, that we tend to, when we're reading, we may not realize it subconsciously, looking for ourselves in the characters. So if it's not seen or viewed on the cover, then, you know, we're like, okay, well, and we go on, you know, whether there's really malice or not in the thought process. But I agree with what you've stated, that if given a shot or given a chance, they can see that it's a story that is relatable to everyone. So, well said, I agree with you. And so, awesome.
So, we're actually running out of time. So what would you like to say to everybody out there? And how can they connect with you to keep up with new releases?
Yes. Well, I would like to say to everyone, please support this book, Free Fridays. It is, you know, the couple realizes that the move that they make is drastic, but they're prepared to try this unorthodox measure in hopes of saving their marriage. And there are several takeaways, too. Should the institution of marriage change with our time? Does every divorce single a failure? If we can no longer help each other grow, should we remain together in a marriage? Can I love you but not see myself with you? If given the chance, would everyone take their cake and eat it too? And so those are just some of the takeaways that I would like to share with people for Free Fridays. It doesn't matter to me how you purchase the book, whether you prefer paperback, electronic. I just need you to purchase the book. Remember, spread the word, but don't spread the book. And please tell everyone, when you read a good book, be sure to share the message about that book to your family, your friends, and your coworkers. Do not share the book. People always say, oh, I let her read my book. No, don't let her read your book. Let her buy her own copy of a great book that you have read. And people can find me across the social media spectrum. I am author Pat Tucker on Twitter, on Instagram, and then on Facebook, I am Pat Tucker. So please reach out to me. I follow back, and I love to share and let readers take a peek into my world. Also, I have a website, authorpattucker.com.
All right, awesome. Thank you so much, Pat, for joining us today. And we wish you all the best with your upcoming release. You're welcome back anytime just to let us know what is going on, keep us in the loop for any new releases and updates. So, again, thanks so much for joining us. Enjoyed it.
Thanks,
welcome back anytime.
Michelle and Jamie, thank you guys so much. Jamie, go get that power drink so that you can make the most of your Saturday.
That's right. And Jamie, thank you so much for hanging out with us. How can everyone touch base with you as well?
I have everything linked on my website, jamielwhite.com, JAMIELWHITE.
All right, and there you have it, guys. We just hope that you will go out and you will connect with Pat Tucker, and make sure to nab and grab that your copy of Free Friday. Support, support, support. And guys, have a wonderful weekend. Why we always said, because you deserve it. Have a good one, guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.